Thank you, Joe. My life's complete. The associate minister, if he can be opened in Scripture by the pulpit minister, what more could you ask for? So there you go. That's it. So anyway, good job. Thank you for doing that. Appreciate the guys that fill in at a short minute's notice. Sometimes we have guys that are traveling or not able to be here because of sickness, and Brian does, and others, John Cale and Mike Powers, all do a good job coordinating that, and appreciate those that are willing to fill in. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And probably it went better if you tack it on to the end of chapter 10. Of course, we know that the breaks were added well after the text, and that's kind of the context that I wanted to set this morning by reading those last few verses. Last week, we kind of jumped ahead here in this chapter, and we're going to continue our series or our study in 1 Corinthians, but I thought a very fitting verse and one that we could look at in conjunction with the day that we're looking at today, that of Father's Day, would be this one verse, and we'll get to it in just a moment. The story was once told of the famous baseball player Mickey Mantle, and he was almost a mythical baseball star who feared that he had failed to fulfill some of the career expectations because of his alcohol abuse, and whose latter years in life were haunted by self-crimination, and then he even died of cancer at the age of 63. And the former New York Yankee center fielder, also a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, said in a news conference that he's afraid that he had squandered a gifted life, and he warned admirers that he was no role model. In fact, he said, "God gave me the ability to play baseball. God gave me everything." And then he went on to say, "For the kids out there, don't be like me." You know, if you think about that, that is a sad statement of life, isn't it? Don't be like me, because we have a chance to live. We have a chance to set an example. We have a chance to influence others and to live a life and be in a position where you would say, don't live the life that I lived. What a sad thing. We are people who like to have an example to follow, and that's something that we see throughout humankind. We follow examples. We see someone doing something. We follow that example, and so often today, many of our examples are found on television screens or other places that are not good. Sadly, most of these examples are not good examples for people to follow and does not show how to live the Christ-like life. And it's a sad thing to hear a kid today tell you their examples and role models, because sometimes they're not the ones that those children might need, that those kids might be looking to. The Bible's full of examples on how to live our lives. We see that from basically cover to cover. Different stories, different people of faith who were able to live and show that faith in their lives. 1 Peter, we read this, "To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so you can follow in His steps." That's one of the examples that we look to in Scripture, that of Jesus Christ, the life that He lived, the example that He left. Another great example that we see in Scripture is the Apostle Paul. He showed a great example to all of those that he was around. In fact, he was able to instruct the Corinthians to imitate him as he imitated Christ. And I believe that many of the character problems we hear about in churches and many of the stories of unfaithfulness have something to do with them not having a spiritual example that they can follow. Someone they can turn to. Someone that they can seek to be like. Someone that has lived a life and left an example for them. We do follow by example. We learn from watching. We learn from observing. The story was once told of a man who was having trouble getting the ice off of his driveway after a bad ice storm. And he thought, well, I'll just try to chunk that up and get it off the best way I can. He used his son's baseball bat to chip away at the ice, and he got cold and went in for a cup of coffee. His 7-year-old son, who had been looking, watching him do that, he came in not long after Dad and said, "Dad, I cleaned the ice off your car." You know the rest of the story, don't you? How did you do that? That was chipping away a little bit at a time with that baseball bat. We must set a good example for people to follow. so they can see Christ living in us. And that brings us to our text. And I wanted to read this morning, of course, we read there from chapter 10. But I want to read verse 1 of chapter 11. I want to read from the New King James Version this morning. And it simply says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." I like that word, imitate. And when we think of that, we might think of, well, it's not the real thing. It's an imitation. But it's very identical, is it not? Maybe you couldn't tell the two apart. Maybe you set something beside something else and one, it looks just identical. And that's what we're to do when we look to Christ. Imitate me, Paul says, just as I also imitate Christ. Here we see where Paul sets an incredible example of a relationship with God. And I want to key in on that word relationship for just a minute. And what I'm about to say may be the most important lesson that we can ever learn. And I want everyone to grasp this thought this morning. God, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, Holy, Perfect, Loving Creator of this universe, wants to have a relationship with each and every one of us. God does not love us as simply a mass of people. God loves us individually and wants that individual relationship. Paul says that. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I have that relationship. You know, it's difficult for me to grasp having a relationship with God at times. It's difficult sometimes to see our faith as more than we're just doing what we need to do while we're here on this earth. We're doing the right things. We're just trying to do what we think we need to do, and that eternal reward's going to be heaven as long as we do those right things here on this earth. Do we sometimes leave it at that? At that level? Do we grasp the relationship that we're to have with God? When God created man, He made man without sin. And we learn that in the Garden of Eden, after the creation, things were ideal. He had that perfect relationship with His creation, Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned, the relationship was lost and contaminated. Today, God wants us to have a relationship with Him. Think about those that you have been acquainted with over the years. Maybe think of your college years. You met a lot of new people during those years. You met a lot of folks that you hadn't met up until that time in your life. But if you think about that, probably a very small amount of those people you met, you really developed a relationship with. More acquaintances. And it was just left at that level. Maybe just a few that you have kept in close contact with. A few that you even today, maybe in some cases 50 years later, would consider a good friend because you have a relationship with them. You know that person. You love that person. You want to hear from that person. If we have a relationship, some things come easy. Or come easier, maybe I should say. In a relationship, communication is easy. And relationships are built upon communication. And without good communication, no relationship can grow. We know that. We know between the relationships we have with our family, a husband and a wife, a father and a child, a mother and a child. We know that communication is there and must be there for that relationship to grow. You know, in a relationship, time together is easy, is it not? We want to spend time together. We long to be together with that person that we have a relationship with. And in my friendships, where the relationships are the strongest, spending time together is an easy thing to do. You find time. You make time for that person. If we're in a relationship with God, then time with God should come easily. We should spend time in His Word. We should love to spend time with God through prayer and spending time together in worship as we're doing this morning. How do you get to know someone better? Not just by saying hi and shaking a hand and leaving it at that. You get to know them better by spending time together with them. We need mentors in this world, and we're going to touch on that as we close in just a few minutes. In a relationship, sharing problems is easy. You know, it's easiest to be open and honest about things with people who are close to you. Why is that? Because they care. They want to hear about your struggles. They want to hear about your problems. They want to know how they can pray for you. In the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks of the time he prayed for God to remove from what he had termed his thorn in the flesh. No one knows exactly what that thorn was, but most likely it was some struggle that he was dealing with or having to deal with at that time. The interesting thing is that Paul didn't see God as so distant that he couldn't speak to him about those struggles, but he was in a relationship where he could share those struggles with God. In a relationship, service should come easy. Whenever a friend asks you to do something, if it's a close friend, you're willing to do that, are you not? You're going to say, yes, I'll do that. I may have to rearrange my schedule. I may have to do things a little bit differently, but I will make that happen because it's important to you. It's important to me. And then in a relationship, trust is easy as well. One of the key aspects of a good relationship is trust. That husband and wife relationship that we often think about, the first thing that can destroy that is the lack of trust. Or something has been done that has caused mistrust in that relationship. We see also Paul's example of a commitment to do the right thing. Do you ever read some of the things that Paul says and are blown away that a human could have lived or had a faith like that? You know, when I read of Paul being in prison and being beaten and says that it's a joy, it almost blows me away. I don't know about you. Something that I sometimes have just a hard time wrapping my thoughts around. When I read of Paul saying that he gave up everything to follow Jesus and counts it all a loss for the sake of Christ, I'm amazed that someone could really live like that. We sometimes look at our own lives, examine our own lives. Paul gives us that invitation. He says, imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ. He is a great example for us to follow. And his character was impeccable. We sometimes have those flaws, don't we? We sometimes have those little things that tend to chip away at our character. You know, scientists now say that it was a series of slits in the Titanic, not a gigantic gash, that sank the ship. The 900-foot cruise ship, of course, sank in 1912 on its first voyage from England to New York. 1,500 people died in the worst maritime disaster of the time. And the most widely held theory that the ship hit an iceberg, which opened a huge gash in the side of the liner. But as more recent studies have taken place, international teams that have dove, and scientists recently used sound waves to probe the wreckage, buried the 2.5 miles down, and they discovered that it was small slits that may have caused the problem as opposed to the one gigantic gash that we so often think brought it down. It's the same way with our character, is it not? Sometimes those small things that enter in, the small things that can begin to chip away, the small things that can take a toll, and then add up in our life. Paul set an example of how to be committed, to fight against those fleshly desires, even when under trials, even when no one sees, even when wrong is acceptable. You know, Paul came across places in his travels where sin was abundant. The Roman world, which was the backdrop of Paul's life, was filled with immorality. We've been looking at that in this book that he penned. The letter to the Corinthians. Even when wrong was acceptable, Paul stood up for what was right. You know, as I think of that verse and how we could tie that to our day that we're celebrating today, Father's Day, notice once again, imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ. We need mentors, do we not? And I'd like to close this morning with looking at three ways on how we can be positive spiritual mentors. Bear with me, if you will, for just a couple of minutes as we think about these. Number one, winsome mentors attract followers. We don't use that word winsome very often anymore, but simply means generally pleasing and engaging. A winsome mentor has an attractive, magnetic personality. Fathers, are we being the mentors that we should be, not only to children, but others that are in our lives as well? Jesus was this way. The crowds gathered around Him. Almost to the point that He had to get away from time to time. We see that in Luke chapter 8. You can probably think of mentors in your life. Think as you grew up, as a child. There were some people in your life that really stuck out, really had an impact on your life in one way or the other. If you'll think for just a minute, I know you can come up with two or three people at least, maybe family members, maybe not, maybe someone else that you came across in your earlier childhood. I thought of just a few. My dad showed me the importance of commitment. Mom and Dad are here this morning, and they're here first service every time I preach, and I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. But my senior year of basketball, I was ready to quit. You know, I just wasn't getting to play all that I wanted to play. I was having to put up with some things that didn't think I should have to put up with. Poor pitiful me, I wanted to quit. I went home and had a conversation. Dad said, "You started it. What's the rest of that? You'll finish it." What a wonderful lesson in life. You start, you finish. My mother blessed me with great examples of serving others. I don't remember how many times we would take food to a family who had lost a loved one. Examples of service. I had a grandfather that showed me compassion as he served as an elder for many, many years. I had another grandfather who had a work ethic that was second to none. And I would work with him. He showed me what a hard day's work was all about. There wasn't anyone in my family that was a preacher, and I didn't start my life in that direction. Went the business route. But you know, I remember some very important people in my life who were ministers, who made an impact. One of them, several of you will remember, Elvis Denny. Preached the gospel meeting that I was baptized in Rogersville. And I knew Elvis through the years, had a great impact in my life. Another man that you'll get to hear later this summer is Chuck Akins. He'll be on one of our Wednesday night speakers. He's now serving as a minister at the Weston Lincoln congregation. And I remember as a young boy at Rogersville, he would get up and often say, "Young people, remember who you are and remember whose you are." That's something that stuck in my mind. As I was beginning to make my transition from the business world into ministry, I had a lot of conversations with Joe. He was able to tell me some things and share some things that helped me so much. And I know Joe has been able to do that for many here. Joe, thank you. He celebrated 20 years with us last Thursday. Thank him for that when you have a chance. 20 years with a congregation. It's quite an accomplishment and has served well. But you can think of those who served as mentors in your life. Be that person to someone. Father, stand up and do that, not only for your children, but others. Number two, strong mentors show us how to live. You know, new Christians, they don't know how to act or what to do. We have to look to a model, look to someone who exemplifies Jesus. The power of observation, we can observe. Can describe it all day long, but it must be shown. And I think that in today's world, marked by chaotic and broken families, more and more people will need intentional mentoring by older adults in the extended family of the church if they're to learn the healthy way of doing family. We need strong leaders to show us how to handle alcohol, money, stress, temptation, burnout, grief, how to share our faith, how to deal with anger, how to show compassion, how to deal with disappointment, how to do a multitude of Christian services. And then finally, number three, faithful mentors inspire hope. Can you imagine the hope that Paul was trying to give to these people that were trying to do what was right when they were living in a backdrop of immorality? He says, "Imitate me." There's hope. I'm striving to live that life. You imitate me. Follow me as I imitate Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16 and following, says, "Therefore do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven. Therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For me to die is gain, Paul would say. You can almost vision that picture. That gray-headed man leading the pack. He's still moving on. Not only is he still going on, but even though he's been through it all, he has allowed his experiences to make him better, not bitter. And although this mentor has been used, he's been burned time and time again, he's been hurt and betrayed, he's not cynical or disillusioned, but he smiles even more broadly on horizons that glow with increasing hope. We all need those mentors, do we not? We all need those people in our lives that are headed in that direction, that can make that statement, follow me, imitate me. That's a bold statement, is it not? Because I am imitating Christ. My life's transparent. When you look at me, I'm imitating Christ, is what Paul is saying. Mentors have imperfections, and we need to remember that. When sheep realize that their shepherds aren't perfect, the awareness can be painful. And in spite of and because of human imperfections, the best mentors know how to point others to that perfect example, Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying. Mentors are only shepherds, not saviors. They're only leaders, not our Lord. They're skilled guides, but they're not gods. A good mentor, a good shepherd is pointing you to Jesus this morning. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. That's what Paul did. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. I thought this was fitting for today. As we celebrate fathers, as we look at a day that we thank our fathers, we thank our dads for what they've done. I know many of you here this morning are maybe here honoring a father. Honoring a dad that's here with you this morning. What a wonderful way to do that. I would encourage you to do that every Sunday morning as we come together to worship. As we close, I want to do something just a little bit different. I want to ask for just a moment, and please stand and remain standing, all the fathers and the grandfathers that we have in our group this morning. If you would, please. We've got a bunch out there. Fathers and grandfathers. Thank you, men, for being mentors. Thank you for stepping up to the plate and continue to do so. We got a lot of family gathered around. I want to ask everyone to stand, and we're going to have a prayer in closing this morning. And then remain standing as we're going to offer an invitation. We're going to sing a song. And if you have any needs this morning, we want to pray for you. We have shepherds that would do that this morning. But I want to offer a prayer in closing, and then we'll sing our song of invitation. Let's pray together. Father, I come to you this morning. I just want to thank you for this day, for the blessings of this day, for the time we can gather here this morning, and just for this occasion. We pray that everything that is done here this morning is pleasing to you, and help us worship to the best of our ability. I thank you for the fathers that are standing this morning in this crowd, for the example that they have been to so many over the years, and help them to be example to many, many more in the years to come. We need those mentors in our lives, no matter where we're at in life. We turn to others here, and we thank you for placing good people in our lives, and pray that you would continue to do that each and every day. We thank you for the example that Christ left, the example that we can strive for, the words of Paul, as he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Help us all do that in our own lives. It's through your Son we offer this prayer. Amen.